Welcome back, everybody, to the Big Picture Manatee. And we're thrilled to continue our conversation in this second segment with Mitch Maley from the Bradenton Times. Hi, Mitch. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Great. Thanks for coming back. So, in case you missed it, everyone, we have a previous discussion and we were catching up on it. You can find that on YouTube, and we were conveniently including a link to it in our description. So you ought to be able to find that as you watch this show as well. But I'm Sherry Corrier. I'm the host here right at the moment for the Big Picture Manatee with my colleagues here. And let's hear from them.
Hey, everybody. I'm Misty Servia, former commissioner, urban planner, lifetime resident in this area. Good to be here.
Hey, greetings to everyone. Reggie Bellamy, former county commissioner, community, proud vet of United States Army.
Thank you. And Mitch, we know that you were on our previous segment, but tell us a little bit more again about you. And we heard something in that previous description that piqued our interest about some boxing.
Yes, I used to be the heavyweight champion of the United States Army. As I like to say, you know, the big one that fights wars against other countries. And I spent a lot of time in the Army World Class Athlete Program and then had a brief professional career before it was ended by injuries when I came out. And I've been a journalist now for more than 25 years. And I've been covering Manatee County government since 2010. So I've a lot of legacy knowledge in our community about and the way the inner workings have happened.
Thank you. Thank you. And we were talking about the ITN for the Lena Road property, also known as the Muscade property. And you really had some great insight. You did a lot of research 3 years ago prior to the actual purchase. There's been a most recent article that you've done updating folks. And we wanted to do in this segment a little bit of a deeper dive into that subject. And I think Misty's going to start off with some concerns and questions she had additionally.
Yeah, great. And so may I also say, Mitch, and quite a great journalist you are, and thank you to the Bradenton Times for being the best local news source in Manatee County. And I tell everybody I run into that that is where to go. So tell me, can you provide some more information on the environmental concerns and the infrastructure deficiencies that you mentioned in your recent article regarding the Musgrave property? And then how might these issues affect the residents of Manatee County?
Yeah, so when you start by looking at this property, the most important part on numerous levels, in my opinion, is that it's adjacent to the county's landfill on Lena Road. So it's generally always a good idea for governments to acquire property whenever it's available when it's adjacent to a landfill, one, for future use, but then also because you don't want incompatible uses, i.e. housing developments, to come up there. Sarasota County is instructive. They had a issue with one of the landfills that they've since closed, and one of the reasons why they closed it ahead of schedule was because of the numerous complaints that it caused with the surrounding communities that were developed after the fact. So with the demand for housing, and you might say, well, who's going to buy a house close to a landfill? But the demand for housing in Manatee County, particularly high-end housing that people are buying coming from out of state, has been so great that if the price is right, you're going to sell almost anything. And it can be a big, big headache environmentally for a community to have certain kind of uses around a landfill. The other part that you have to look at is that we're going to need a tremendous amount of public infrastructure to have the services to accommodate the rampant growth that we've been allowing in East County. We have been allowing developers to develop in a way that was never planned for or intended. And since the Lena Road purchase, that's only gotten worse. The development has only gotten more intense. We apparently don't really have a future development area boundary anymore. And we're only going to need those service infrastructure properties more and sooner. And what you don't want to do as a community is go out and buy them at tomorrow's prices when you're already sitting on something. So right now, regardless of what anybody thinks of the first deal, right now the county is sitting pretty by owning that large parcel adjacent to its landfill, and it is going to only look prettier as price for land continue to rise. So the idea that you would then invite people to negotiate for other, you know, uses on this land is, it's really, it's asinine. Like, it makes no sense. It doesn't pass the common sense test.
Yeah. So how do you think the county administration is going to be able to justify that decision to sell? I mean, will there be an appraisal? You know, that's a requirement. You know, what could the reasons be for, you know, other than what you previously stated? I mean, deep down, how are they going to do this?
I think what they're going to do is make that same nonsensical soundbite that they always do, which is we're in a housing crisis. There's not enough houses for teachers and firefighters and EMS workers and sheriff's deputies, never mentioning that the kind of houses that they are approving, the developments are approving, have no workforce or affordable housing component to them. They're generally going from the high threes to the mid fours. That's not the kind of price that those first responder type employees are going to be able to purchase anyway. It's just drawing more people from outside the community, usually outside the state. But that's just, that seems to be what they fall back on. It doesn't make sense, but they say people need to buy houses, or they just say people are moving to Manatee County and we got to build houses for them, as though that's somehow an obligation. And as though that should somehow come at the expense of the existing, you know, taxpayers who have been here, have already invested, and have invested with sort of the promises that you make through long-term planning and what you say the community is going to look like. And then when you eviscerate it and say, hey, you moved out to a rural part of the county because you wanted that lifestyle, but some developers who write a lot of checks for political campaigns don't want it to be rural anymore. And we really work for the developers, not you. And that's the message that the public, I believe, should be getting from commissioners, because nothing, Sherry, to answer your question, nothing is going to justify it. Do I think there's going to be appraisal? Not a real one. You know, we saw that in the city of Bradenton when, give you a little example, when they were going to do the same thing with their city hall, which they've now done and sold. They eventually sold it for $14 million, but they were ready to have some firm from Jacksonville appraise it at $10 million and not even put out a bid, say, oh, well, we've happened to have had an offer. We have an appraisal. Let's just get this done with. And that would have, I think the $14 was a very low price, but the public would have lost four more on that point. So how they're going to justify this, you know, they're going to try with a bunch of word salad, but anybody paying even a modicum of attention isn't going to buy it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just thinking about, and good to see you again, Mitch. Thanks for coming back. And always thank you for your service. You mentioned about the rampant growth and the environmental concerns and the infrastructure deficiencies. And the reality of all this is there's a lot going on. There's a lot moving parts. And as far as the drama behind, you know, Manatee County, you know, how has the community responded to the sale of the Musgrave property?
Well, when we've done polling on the website, it's overwhelmingly been that we should keep it. So for the people who are informed by the coverage that we do, they're on the same page and saying this is dumb. And the community is largely very resistant to any vote that shows the government going out of its way to build more houses where they're not planned. The community is not saying, hey, we don't have enough houses, build more. The community is saying quite the opposite. They're saying, I can't get across the county anymore, particularly between anything within 3 hours of what we used to call rush hour. So there's 7-8 hours a day where people don't even like to drive their car. The idea of going from, you know, we talked briefly touched on 44th Avenue in the last episode. When you remember 44th Avenue, that was advertised sort of as, hey, we're going to connect Lakewood Ranch to the beach with one road. Tell anybody today that you want to drive from Lakewood Ranch, especially the you know, most eastern part of Lakewood Ranch, to the beach. It's absurd. You're not going to get anywhere near it. People I know at Lakewood Ranch, they go to the beach once or twice a year. Sometimes they'll rent a hotel so that they can get there and not have to deal with the traffic on the day they're going to enjoy it. Or they understand it's an all-day outing where you leave super early in the morning and you come home late. The community is not calling for this sort of usage of the property.
Well, let's talk about that as far as the political slant, right? Because when you say the public, do you feel there's been a lack of public awareness and education on this property?
Oh, I certainly think so. This is not the kind of thing that most people are going to invest a lot of time in understanding, because the reality is it's not, for lack of a better term, sexy from a political standpoint. So the kind of things that most people are going to read about are the more select. You'll have a whole lot more people reading about what happens to the Zigglers than you do about a property like this. That's just the reality of it. And that's not for a lack of trying. I just think this is not something that most people sink their teeth into. And this is why leadership is so important, Reggie, is that when you look at an issue like this, you're not going to feel the impact of a bad decision as a member of the public until it's far too late. You're going to feel it when EMS times are double what they should be, because 2 or 3 minutes is a long time when you're not breathing, right? So that's when people are going to ask, hey, what's going on? It's kind of like the traffic stuff. People didn't say 20 years ago, I'm really worried about, you know, not in Moss. If it was next to them or something, it was one thing. But you didn't see 20 years ago people saying, I'm really worried about what this rampant unplanned growth in East County is going to mean for future traffic. Citizens just don't really think that way. That's where leadership comes in. That's where long-term planning comes in. And what the public really needs to understand is that the decades-long effect of not proper planning, because everything is being just driven about how developers can make the maximum money now. I suspect they know that it's getting toward the end. I suspect that most of these developers that have really made their money in this community are seeing, hey, this show's almost over. We're going to have to leave this carcass behind and find a new host to be a parasite on, but let's squeeze everything out while we can, because they're certainly not looking to make this community a place where people are going to live 20 years from now. There's nothing in the decisions that they're influencing being made that is going to make Manatee County a better place down the road.
Yeah, well said. And I want to touch on your leadership comment, because do you guys remember, Sherry and Reggie, do you remember in 2020 after that election that we had these new board members seated and we conducted business as boards have always done, which is you have professional staff members who do research and analysis and give their professional opinions based on, you know, their expertise on things that the county needs to pursue. And then the Board of County Commissioners, a political body, makes a decision on that. But what we heard in 2020, I'll never forget it, is we don't want to hear from your experts. Are you crazy? We're in charge, is what the board said. Stop bringing us the staff analysis. We don't care. We don't want it. They may have been slightly more diplomatic, but it was like, no, we make the decisions, not you. And that's when things began to shift. And that's a shame, you know, when you've got people who are appraisers and you have people who are attorneys, and you have people who are land planners and environmental experts. That board didn't care about any of that. And that is why leadership is so important, Mitch, that the leaders get the right people in the right places to talk about the right things. And politics may go out in left field, and that happens, but you still have got to hear that stuff. Well, you did prior to 2020. Okay, so I want to talk just a little bit about the infrastructure again. And I know that, Mitch, you talked about the value of that land and extending the life cycle of the landfill itself. Now where we are today, as we've heard, you know, the life of the landfill is about up, but they have found a way that they're going to go ahead and extend it. But I think that was our main objective back then. Can you talk about that a little bit more from your perspective?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I was impressed, if a little skeptical, on the presentation that was giving on how they're going to extend it. So, and I've since heard some critiques by some knowledgeable people saying that might have been the, you know, the absolute rosiest possibility. I think Evan Pilichowski has done a very, very good job. I think that he's a very capable person. I think he's one of the few people that got into the position on merit when they pushed people out. And because I think it was out of necessity that they brought in something that somebody that at least had any idea what he was doing. But even if they're able to extend the life cycle through the remanagement that they've talked about, it still doesn't make sense to give up the land adjacent to it, because then that means that whenever you're able to succeed in this reorganization, you'd only be able to extend further. And again, one thing you do not want to do as a community that's no fun is going out and trying in 2024 even, but it's going to be more in the 2030s, trying to secure property for a landfill. It's one of the most difficult things you can do. Nobody wants it anywhere near them. So go try to find a parcel somewhere that you're not going to have rabid opposition to from people that are anywhere close to it. If you already have your existing one and you own land adjacent to it, it has value probably, you know, by orders of magnitude toward what it would be for selling it for anything else. So the idea that you would give that up is absurd. And then on top of it, I'll just keep saying this, you also have all these other needs that we've talked about, the utilities, the fleet services, the sheriff, the EMS, all these other ones. You're going to need them. It's not a question of if, it's when. And do you want to try to find them one at a time, piecemeal, at future land prices? Or do you want to say, hey, we already have the land. Isn't that great? We're set for the next few decades out in this part of the county that we are developing so rapidly that we can't keep up with services anyway.
You know, if I could just hop in here, I remember going to Broward County, and I've been to Hillsborough County, and I've seen their solid waste management, and you know, they have incinerators, and those are extremely expensive. And you see those in areas that usually have a huge population, and it's all a matter of economics, right? Mm-hmm. And then you also have the alternative of taking your solid waste off site, get it out of here. Take it to Hardy County, take it to DeSoto County, you know, get it out of Manatee. And I remember having a developer come to me and telling me that's what we needed to do, that, you know, we didn't need to have a landfill here. We needed to ship it out. But as Mike Gore told me, well, then you're like down on the ground with people with their hands around your neck, because then you have no options if you do that. You have zero. They tell you how much it's going to cost and how much you can bring out, and that's that. So there was such a good argument to extend the life of this landfill with that property. And it's just, it's one of the biggest missed opportunities, I think, that has happened.
Agreed.
Yep.
Well, it takes anywhere from 7 to 10 years to actually go through the process. Once you have found the property and purchased it, to actually site the landfill. So that was another reason why, you know, now 3 years have gone by and nothing has happened. And so, you know, as you mentioned, you're adding more time on. There's this potential to get more life out of the current landfill, but it seems like there's a lot of kicking the can down the road. And I personally am not sure if it's because you know, nobody wants to make the decision because it's a tough one, as we all know, or because they're told not to. So, I mean, you've got both of those things going on. I also feel like, I don't know how you feel about this, Mitch, maybe you're getting the same vibe, is that the reason this ITN has showed up here so quickly the first part of January is it's the election year.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that has to get done between now in November with the current board. And to say that you can respond to an ITN in less than 5 weeks for 161-acre use sounds fishy to me.
Yeah, it would almost seem as though you had already been prepared to do just that. And you're right in that if we've seen a number of things here, one, we've seen this rush to get things done now that they have, you know, an unassailable majority. And we saw that with the Rutland policy. We're seeing that with the comp plan. We're seeing that with, you know, that being carved out of the complete comp plan redo to make sure it gets done before this election. And I think this property is coming up at this time for that exact same reason. And this could be, you know, Charlie Mike before November, and anything may have the opportunity to change, because this is, I think, one of the big ticket items that those forces were looking to get done with this board. And the, you know, the other thing that I think is really important is that they've managed to effectively hollow out the leadership. So you, and it started with you, Sherry. So, you know, you're, you know, ground zero for that was get rid of Sherry Couriet. And then, you know, one by one, anyone who had any connection to your administration at any kind of high level, the most talented ones were gone. There were a few that were willing to say, I see where this is going, and let me make it clear, I'm on board. I'll say what you need me to say, do what you need me to do. And then there was an infill of people that understood when they took the job, hey, you're going to get paid a lot of money, and you're going to take your marching orders like we do, and this is the way things work. So you don't have any sort of resistance from a rogue board, from the administration to the rogue board. You have them working in concert with each other. You have them buddy-buddy hanging out with each other and saying, hey, we're on the same team with this. And you have what is left in that administration. And there are still some talented people, especially in the rank and file, who I feel awful for. But there are, across leadership, there are people that have demonstrated, yes, I'll show the same fealty to the special interests as you commissioners do. And we understand that when Kevin says this is what we're doing, and I mean, Commission Chair Kevin Van Ostenbridge, who seems to be the person that directs everything, which is really odd because a county commissioner, as Missy and Reggie know, has absolutely no authority to direct staff or direct policy. Their only power, whether the chair or any other commissioner, is via a majority vote of the board, via an ordinance they pass. That's it. But we see time and again, that's not how it's happening. One commissioner is keeping everybody on script, and everybody in staff knows. We've seen it in emails. We've seen it in communications. That's not what Kevin wants. So it's very clear. And don't think Kevin's the puppet master. Kevin's strings are being pulled on his back too. And if you go and look at his campaign finance records, you'll see who's pulling them, just the same as who's pulling the other six or the other five at this point.
Well, I think in that breath, you talked about just about everything we put on our top list for 2024. So what that tells me is we'd like to have you back, because we also are concerned about those issues. We're very concerned about transparency and the things that have happened at the board and from the board meetings and materials, and no details for the public. A person can't even read an agenda anymore and know what they're actually, the commissioners voting on. It just happens. There are no, as Misty mentioned, there are no presentations, even though staff are there ready to give them. So that's another one we've been very concerned about. And as we wrap up talking about this particular issue, and we did this deeper dive with the Lena Road property, we know that there'll be decisions made in the next 30 days, and we'll obviously be coming back. We just want to thank you and your publication for bringing the facts forward in many, many instances. And I think all of the newspapers are, you know, struggle a bit with, you know, where to get the information, given that it's very scripted, but the public appreciates it. We know, we hear from them. They appreciate any bits and pieces of factual evidence that can be provided. And on behalf of the Big Picture Manatee, we want to thank you for that. Misty, Reggie, before we let Mitch go, anything you want to add?
I just want to encourage everyone to read the Bradenton Times. It is a fantastic newspaper, and it's where you'll get the truth. And thank you, Mitch, for all that you do to make that such a great publication.
Yeah. Thanks. Again, Mitch, Thank you for your service. Thank you for coming on the show. It's very, very informative. I learned a lot. It's always great to see and hear from you and the things that you bring to our community from a journalist perspective. I appreciate everything that you do. Thank you.
I want to say also, I appreciate the show you guys are putting on, because there's precious few opportunities for the public to kind of see behind the curtain, see how the sausage is made from people that have been where you guys have been. So this is a very unique opportunity. We're going to share it with our readers, and I hope more people take the time to tune in, because this is how you're going to cast an informed vote in November.
About the education.
Thank you. So, all right, we appreciate everyone here. We appreciate our audience, and share this out. You can find us on YouTube at The Big Picture Manatee. Misty, where else can you find us?
Hey, follow us on Facebook. We've got a website where you can engage with us and tell us what you'd like to hear more about. And it's always The Big Picture Manatee.
Hey, find us, follow us, stay up, keep up with us, and be a part of what we're doing. We're just trying to inform and educate. Thanks for everything.
Thank you. Appreciate it, everybody.
So long. Bye.